I ask you to set them straight. There's a reason for the service, and it's not a place to talk or fellowship or let your mind wander. It's a place for you to be able to get strength today to go out and face tomorrow. Father, help me as I speak this morning. Be all that our people need and all meet all the needs of our guests today. Do thou something real in this hour. Amen. I do not care where you live, what your financial position or condition is, what your ideologies are, your philosophies are. I do not care what your educational background is. I do not care what your tastes are. There's one thing that every living human being has in common this morning, and that is we all want happiness, peace, contentment, and so forth. All of us do. Now, we do not seek the same, do not use the same avenues with which to secure peace and happiness and joy and contentment. People flock to theaters seeking it. They flock to stadiums seeking it. They crowd amusement parks seeking it. They even come to churches seeking it, trying to find happiness, peace, and joy. Now, we may not agree with how it is secured, but there's one thing that each of us wants in this life: happiness, peace, joy, contentment, and so forth. The other day, I was browsing through a bookstore, and I was looking at the books under where it says self-improvement. It used to be religion, now they call it self-improvement. Everything is there. And I was looking at the book, and there's a title, and the title was How to Find Peace of Mind. This morning, I want to talk to you about that, how to find peace of mind. Years ago, I was flying on a Saturday. I had a stopover in the airport in Greensboro, High Point, North Carolina. And I picked up a newspaper, and down south, they have usually have a page or two concerning the services on Sunday. And they had a list of all the churches that wanted to purchase a little block ad. And they had the titles of many of the sermons. And I was looking through titles for the next day, and one preacher was preaching on the subject, 15 Ways to Find Happiness and Peace. Now, the honest truth is, he was preaching about an impossibility. There is no way to find happiness. There's no way. No one finds joy. No one finds peace. To seek them, listen to me now, to seek them is selfishness, and nobody becomes happy or contented or joyful because of selfishness. To illustrate, I want to use an old story to introduce a new one. This story that I'm going to tell first is familiar to many of you, but it introduces another one. I was in my office, and a little lady made an appointment. I'll give you her name. Her name was Mrs. Stinson. Mrs. Stinson was a lovely lady. She was upper middle age, which is about 73 years of age. And she was upper middle age. She also had very beautiful, solid white hair. And she was a musician. She was a pianist and organist and a very fine, refined kind of a lady. She came to my office one night, an appointment, and I said, Mrs. Stinson, what can I do for you? And she began to tremble like this. And she said, Brother Hiles, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. Well, that did not surprise me because, as I've said, every lady I know is either having a nervous breakdown or just got over a nervous breakdown or is going to have one as soon as she can work it into her busy schedule. And so Mrs. Stinson, I said, preacher, can you help me? I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. And I said, yes, ma'am. I can help you. And by the way, young preachers, you better have the answers before you get out there where the jungle is. And I said, yes, ma'am, I can help you. She said, what can I do to get over this nervous breakdown? I'm miserable. What can I do? And I said, go home and bake some cookies. And she said, what? I said, go home and bake some cookies. She said, what in the world does cookies have to do with my nervous breakdown? I said, just do what I said. Forget about it and do what I said. Go home and bake some cookies. And now tomorrow, take them, if you would please, to some blind person and take maybe a cup of tea and or some kind of refreshment, a bottle of beer. I'm sorry, a cup of tea. Just want to see if you're listening, that's all. I just probing the waters to see if the fish are still swimming, that's all. And so I said, and have some tea and some cookies with some blind person and bring some cheer into their life. And I said, now tomorrow I'll tell you what you do. Bake a cake. And I said, take that cake to some deaf person and write a little note to him and say, just came by to talk to you, to sit here for a while and bring some joy in the life. Well, she said, what's that got to do with nervous breakdown? I said, forget your nervous breakdown. Do what I say. Bake some cookies tomorrow, then take it to a blind person and bake a cake and take it to a deaf person the next day. And the next day, I said, go buy a dozen roses and go up here to St. Margaret's Hospital and go from room to room and find people that have no visitors during visiting hours and walk in and spend a little time with each person there that has nobody there during visiting hours and leave them a lovely red rose. Well, she said, just don't understand what red roses and a cake and cookies and tea have to do with my nervous break. I said, don't doubt me now. Just forget about it and do it. Well, and I said, then every day following that, find somebody that you can, where you can lose yourself and help them and encourage them and forget your nervous breakdown. Well, she walked away with doubts, and she said, I still don't understand what in the world cookies and a cake and tea and red roses have to do with my nervous. I said, just do what I said, forget about it, and do it. Well, several months passed, and Mrs. Stinson would avoid me. She'd see me in the hallway and turn around and walk the other way. And I wondered how she was getting along. One day I was walking down at Miller Hall, the office building over there, toward the front door, and she was walking this way, east, toward the hallway, and we bumped into each other there in the hallway. And I said, Mrs. Stinson, we've got to quit meeting like this. And she started to walk away. I said, hold it now. Wait a minute. I said, don't you leave. I said, how about that nervous breakdown? And she started with a sly little grin on her face. She said, I got so busy I had to call it off. Now, that's your problem. You're trying to find happiness, but you can't find happiness. You're trying to find joy, but you can't find joy. You're trying to find peace, but you can't find peace. I say peace and joy and happiness and contentment come when you lose yourself in service for others and forget that you exist, and one day happiness will tap you on the shoulder and say, I'd like to live with you. You don't find happiness. No one finds it. No one finds joy. No one finds peace. To seek them is selfish, and selfishness is not the way to any of these. So, she went and told a friend. She said, let me tell you how to find happiness. She said, you can be happy. I can tell you how I found it. Truth is, she didn't find it. It stuck up behind her and tapped her on the shoulder when she decided she's going to forget her own happiness and think about the happiness of others. And so, she said to her friend, I'll tell you how you can find happiness. She said, go bake some cookies. And she said, take them to a blind person. And then the next day, bake a cake and take it to a deaf person. And the next day, get a dozen roses and take them to the hospital and visit folks that have nobody visiting them during visiting hours. And then every day, you do something for yourself. And that's the way you'll find happiness. The second lady made some cookies, and she made a cake, and she got some roses, and she did the same thing. And she came back to me and said, Mrs. Stinson told me I could find happiness. She said, I took the cake. I took the cookies, I took the flowers, and every day I've done something for somebody else in search, get this now, in search for happiness, but I didn't find it. Well, you say, what's the difference in Mrs. Stinson and the other lady? Mrs. Stinson was not searching for happiness. The other lady was searching for happiness, and living for others is not a tool so you can be self-gratified. It is a place where you forget yourself and forget that you exist, and you find happiness creeping up on you and surprising you. Let me make the same statement in 10 different expressions. One, once you start looking for happiness, no matter how you look, it runs from you. Let me say it again. Once you start looking for happiness, no matter how you look, it runs from you. Statement number two, which is a paraphrase. Happiness looks for you until you look for it. Paraphrasing again, number three, happiness is looking for those not looking for it. Statement number four, it will not come to seekers. Nobody since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden has ever sought and found happiness. People searching all over the world for joy and happiness and kingdom. But bless God, it doesn't matter whether I'm happy or not. I want to spend my life making others happy. And then happiness comes up and says, hey, Jack. I let happiness call me Jack. Happiness says, I'd like to be with you. But happiness is not sought, found by seeking. It is found by helping others to find it. And then happiness comes to you. Another statement. It seeks a place to live, but never checks the classified section. So no one finds peace, no one finds joy, no one finds happiness, and no one finds contentment. Next statement. Happiness must surprise you, or you won't get it. Next statement. When it comes, it is unexpected. Next statement. When it comes, it'll cause you to ask, who are you? Where did you come from? I was expecting you. You weren't even on my mind. It tiptoes up behind those who've lost themselves in others. Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. It doesn't matter whether I'm happy or not. It matters to me whether you're happy or not, and that's why I'm happy. I'm not trying to be happy. I'm not seeking peace. I'm not seeking joy. For 40 years and a half, I've tried to bring you joy and you happiness and you peace and satisfy your needs, and I'm happy as a June bug on the last day of May. Now you listen to me. You're not going to find it looking for it. Got all the psychologists you want to go to, but you're not going to find happiness. Get all the books on how to find joy and peace of mind you want to, but you're not going to find joy and peace of mind. By the way, its possessors seek no friends. The possessors of happiness seek no friends. They seek no success. They seek no praise. They seek no acclaim. They seek no position. They seek no peace. They seek no happiness. They seek no joy. They seek no contentment, and they seek no gratitude. They only lose themselves in service for other people. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm preaching this morning. And I want to tell you, I want happiness. I want happiness. And so you switch husbands to get happiness, and you switch again to get happiness. Listen, the truth is, you won't get a happy marriage trying to get it. Pick up every book you want to pick up. Listen to me. Pick up every book you want to pick up on marriage, and I've got one coming out in about 4 weeks on marriage called Marriage is a Commitment, about 240 pages or so. Now, wait a minute. But you can pick up all those books you want to looking for happiness, happy marriage, and you won't find a happy marriage. You can check. You can go to every counseling session. You can come with me, and I'll counsel with you, as I do often. Every week I counsel with folks in marital counseling. I do it often. You can come to me, and I can spend hour upon hour upon hour upon hour with you, but you're not going to find happiness through counseling, nor are you going to find it through a psychologist or psychiatrist. You listen to me. You are not ever going to be happily married till you forget what your mate does for you and can do for you and can give you, and you become concerned about what you can do for your mate. Lose yourself. Oh, my soul. I'm telling you right now, I can save you a lot of time, me a lot of time, if you'll just forget your own self, for I, me, my, us, we are. You forget your own self and your needs and your wants and what he can do for you. And you say to yourself, I am going to give that man the best wife I can. I'm going to meet his needs and satisfy his needs. You forget whether you're happy, have a happy marriage or not. Or you say, I'm going to be to that little lady what she needs and give her what she needs and lose myself. It doesn't matter about me. It matters about her. And one of these days, you'll wake up and find yourself happily married. Now you listen to me. It's time that you kept your marriage vows. You didn't say at the altar, I take thee to my wedded wife for thee to hold me and have me, to love me and to cherish me, to provide for my needs, to love me and cherish till death do us part. You did not say one word about what he's supposed to do to you. Did you hear me? Hey, perjurers, did you hear me? You did not make one vow about what your wife was supposed to be to you. Nor did you make one vow about what your husband was supposed to be to you. But you said, listen, here's what you said. And I married hundreds of you folks. I perform your ceremonies. I take thee to my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and cherish till death do us part. And you little females, added one little thing on the end of yours, to obey till death do us part. Now, I'll tell you how you can have a happy marriage. You forget what vows your husband made to you, and you give your life to fulfilling the vows that you made to him. Are you listening to me this morning? Are you listening to me? And you forget the vows that your wife made to you. Marriage is not a contract. If you'll do this, I'll do this. Marriage is, I'll do it if you don't do it. And one of these days, I've said this often, every marriage in this room could be salvaged if one of you were a good Christian. You see a picture, you're counseling with us right now. You let me have it. You better know I'm letting you have it. There's no need for you to come to my office and say, well, she's got a hot temper. You forget about her temper and we're concerned about yours. But he's hard to get along with. That's not the purpose for marriage. The purpose for marriage is to find somebody I can serve and love the rest of my life and not somebody to love me and serve me. You never will find a happy marriage looking for it. Forget it. And be what the other partner needs. Are you listening to me? Same is true about a happy church. This is a happy church. You know how we became happy? We all got in one time and said, let's be happy. Happy, 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 happy. Or let's laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Let's just have a laugh in service. And let's be happy. No, sir. You're in a church this morning that has never thought about being a happy church. You're in a church this morning that's given its life for these years to reaching people in this area. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people yesterday spent 8, 9, 10, 12 hours out in the snow and the cold weather in Chicago trying to help little boys and girls and help the poor people. And others went to high school, public school kids, and some went to the Naval Center, and some went to rest homes, and some went to truck stops and trying to get to, and we didn't go out and say, we want to find happiness. We went out and said, you truck drivers over here, you need to go, you've got to face God someday. We want you to know Jesus Christ and go to heaven when you die. You sailors back here, we didn't go to you look yesterday trying to find happiness in at the naval base. We didn't go to the truck stop trying to find happiness. We forgot happiness. And happiness came one day and said, I want to live at First Baptist Church at Hammond, Indiana. You'll never have a happy marriage seeking for it. You'll never have a happy church seeking for it. You'll never have a happy friendship seeking for it. That's your holler go, Brother Boyd. That man's happy. He's not trying to. He's trying to help your kids turn out right. And one day, happiness walked up to him from the back, tapped him on the shoulder, and said, Don, I'd like to live with you. But as sure as Don walked up and said, happiness, would you come in to live with me? Happiness would run. It's a timid suitor. It will not answer your call. It will surprise you when you forget yourself and live for other people. Please don't misunderstand me. When my battles and troubles have come in my ministry, do you know who's come to my side? People I've tried to help through these years. I'm a happy man. You ask us how. We're characters. We're literally characters. I wouldn't even want you to hear what we talk about at home. It's silly. But we're happy. But we never looked at each other and said, let's get happy. Okay? Happy, happy, happy. Happy, happy, happy. Or let's go talk to Brother Colston. Where's Brother Colston? Brother Colston, my wife and I are having trouble. Could you help us? She's hard to get along with. And she's a woman, isn't she? You got your own problems. Okay. Okay, then I'll go to Brother Scott. No, I can't go to Brother Scott. No, sir. But the world's wacky. And so are you. Or you wouldn't have called me. But you're crazy. You're crazy. You're wacky. You know why you're wacky? Because you got the idea, listen, to look for happiness, get this, to look for happiness by serving others is just as self-serving as looking for happiness at the amusement park. It is not where you look for happiness that determines your happiness. It's that you look for happiness that makes you unhappy. So quit seeking peace and serve others. And one of these days you'll hear a knock on your heart's door and you'll say, who are you? The answer will be, I'm happiness. And you'll say, I didn't know you existed. Never thought about you. Happiness says, I sought you and I saw you quit seeking me. So seeking money will not bring happiness. Seeking fame will not bring happiness. Seeking popularity will not bring happiness. Seeking beauty will not bring happiness. Seeking power will not bring happiness. Seeking happiness will not bring happiness. Seeking happiness through serving others will not bring happiness. Seeking happiness through giving will not bring happiness. Seeking happiness through kindness will not bring happiness. Seeking happiness through good deeds will not bring happiness. Seeking anything will not bring happiness. Happiness will not be an end. It must be a byproduct. Listen carefully. The greatest example of this was 2,000 years ago, outside the northern walls of the city of Jerusalem, when our Savior was on the cross of Calvary. Hebrews 12:2 says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Are you listening? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What brought him joy? Enduring the cross. This is Calvary, into which all the rivers of history pour. This is Calvary, from which all the streams of prophecy originate. This is Calvary, on which all of human hope hinges. This is Calvary, where all the sins of mankind are assembled. This is Calvary, for the fulfillment of plans and specifications of the foreordinate council fulfilled. This is Calvary, where grace and truth combine. This is Calvary, where truth and mercy entwine. This is Calvary, where love and justice design. This is Calvary, where forgiveness is set free. I'm talking about 2,000 years ago. This is Calvary, where heaven and earth are betrothed. This is Calvary, where hell is conquered. This is Calvary, where the grave is defeated. This is Calvary, where death is a victim. This is Calvary, where the Godhead is divided. This is Calvary, where the demands of God retire. This is Calvary, where the power of sins expire. I'm trying to say, this is Calvary. Shh. Hold it a minute. Hush. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, a thorns compose so rich a crown? That's the Son of God there. That's the Son of God bearing my sins in his body upon the tree. Shh. He's about to speak. He's suffering as no man ever suffered. The piercing of the hands and feet, and the beating of the back beyond human recognition. And God the Father is about to turn his back on him. Nobody ever suffered like shh. He's about to speak. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Son, behold thy mother. Woman, behold thy son. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The first three words of Calvary were for other people. He's going to say, I thirst, but not yet. He's going to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, but not yet. He's going to say, in thy hands I commend my spirit, but not yet. Before he ever speaks of his own suffering, he says, forgive them. Son, take care of mama. Mama, he'll take care of you. Hey, let's go to heaven together, he said to the thief. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus is a perfect example. He wasn't seeking happiness. He was seeking to help others. He is totally lost in others. And the Bible says joy was set before him. Joy is set before you today. Are you listening? Joy is set before you today. Seek it, and it will flee. Lose yourself in serving others, and you'll be surprised to see it finds you. I'll close. There's some happy people in this room this morning, but not one single person is happy is trying to be. There's some people that have peace this morning, but there's not peace in the breast or one single breast this morning for folks who are trying to be. If you take what I've said in the last 28 minutes and live by it, you listen to me, listen carefully, and live by it, 99% of all your problems will be solved. If you teenagers would forget your own joy, your own happiness, lose yourself trying to help mama, and trying to be good to daddy, and trying to be unselfish to your brothers and sisters, and trying to help the kids at school that are not as popular and not in things like you are, you'd find happiness to find you. But you'll never be happy looking for it. Now, nobody's going to believe this. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. But I tell you what, I'm telling you the truth this morning. And again, I'll say, every marriage in this room could be made happy this morning just like that if you would forget whether or not you have a happy marriage. You wouldn't have to read Ann Landers anymore or Abigail Van Buren. All you'd have to do is you forget. But Bob, you forget what kind of wife she is to you. And you say, that little woman has borne my children. She stood by me, and I am going to give her happiness and joy and peace. And I'm giving my life to keeping the vows that I made, not even asking her to keep the vows that she made. And I'll promise you that while you're serving her, one of these days you'll look up and say, I'll declare, we're happy, aren't we? And the honest, simple truth is, well, I wish I could take you this morning and shake you. I wish I could shake you and say, look, read all the books you want to read. Dr. Stopp's got a book on marriage. His wife's got a book on marriage. And they're looking, they're planning to get a divorce. I've got a book coming out on marriage, and I don't care. You can read them all, memorize them all, get all my tapes and listen to them. You are not going to have a happy marriage. Do you forget it? And lose yourself in serving the one that you gave your vows to at the altar. Nor are you going to have a happy friendship. You quit trying to get friends, and you simply try to be a friend. Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord. Yes, others. Let this my motto be. Lord, let me live for others. That I may live like the one who on the cross, suffering as no man ever suffered, said, the joy is set before me. What joy? The joy of forgiving others. The joy of caring for the needs of mama, others. And the joy of saving others. Why don't you go somewhere this afternoon and get alone? Get on your knees and be your own marriage counselor. And just look up to God and say, dear God, from this moment forward, forget it. Forget it. I'm not going to try to be happy anymore. That's not my desire. But I've got a mate there to whom I gave some vows at the altar. However glibly I made them, at least I made them. And from this moment forward, I'm giving my life to my mate. If my mate reciprocates, good. If not, it's still good. And I'll promise you, one of these days, you'll wake up and say, I'll declare, I'm happy. And happiness will tap you on the shoulder. For happiness never obeys a command. Happiness never responds to a request. Happiness never enters when invited. It only comes upon you when you lose yourself in service for others. That's what happiness is all about. And I know. Try it. Would you bow your heads?